got your Bible, you can go to Luke 5. That's where our text is going to be this morning. And man, these guys on the video wanted to be fishermen, but when it came time to fish, actually fish, they had all kinds of excuses. And our text today, like I said, is about fishermen. And this is actually part two. Last week we did part one of this. I ran out of time, and so we're going to kind of pick up where we left off. But to refresh our memory, to bring everybody back up to speed, let's go to Luke chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. All right, Luke 5, verse 1. If you're using the church Bible, page number 1063 will take you there. All right, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," which is like the Sea of Galilee, same thing. "And he saw," Jesus saw, "two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," that's Peter, "and he prayed," he asked him, "that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left or quit speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He said, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Fear not, from hereafter you shall catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all," and the Bible says they followed him. Jesus said, "I am calling you to be fishers of men." What is going to be your decision? And, you know, Jesus, when he said that, he was saying, "I want you guys to follow me. I want you to be with me. I want you to be close to me. I want you to be my disciples." And, you know, Jesus called 12 disciples to be his guys, and four of them are right here that he calls that were fishermen, commercial fishermen. And, I want to emphasize this again, that, you know, these guys weren't priests, and they weren't scribes, and they weren't Pharisees, and they weren't, you know, entertainers, and they weren't famous guys. These were just ordinary, everyday guys that worked hard, blue-collar guys, and yet Jesus Christ saw something in them, and he called them to follow him. And so last week we said, do you, teenager, do you, young adult, do you, college student, do you, adult, senior citizen, you know, do you desire to follow Christ? Do you want to follow him? Do you want to take it to the next level here in 2020? You know, do you want to kind of just take it up a notch? Because Christ is calling you. And the question is, will you respond? Like the cell phone at the top of the handout there, you know, he's calling. And if you got that cell phone, you know that the options are, okay, I'm either going to answer it, I'm going to reject him, or I'm going to just silence him and just try to, you know, put it out of my mind. What are you going to do with Christ's calling? What does this calling look like? What does Christ's calling involve? And we began to explore this from the text last week, and I believe it'll be a huge help to us because it just kind of helps us kind of like make a decision, you know, get off the fence one way or the other. Either I'm going to do this or I'm not. Either I'm going to be a Christ follower or I'm not. Does it mean I'm going to be perfect? No. Question, were the 12, Peter, James, and John, and all the boys, were they perfect? Yes or no? Not at all. They made so many mistakes, but they got off the fence and they said, I'm going to be a Christ follower. We are going to follow Jesus Christ. And so today, that's the deal. You know, it's not a call that, okay, you got to be perfect. And, you know, no, it's just a deal of, no, I want to follow him. I don't want to just go to church and leave unchanged every week. I want God to do a work in me. I want him to change me. I want him to take me to the next level in my faith. I want to be a serious Christ follower. Well, what does that calling look like? Number one, we said last week in your handout there, you remember? We said it's a call to leave your, what was that first point last week? Your comfort zone. You know, here's, get the picture with me, all right? Peter, James, and John, and Andrew are over here cleaning up their nets from a hard night's work. They've cleaned their boats. They got everything cleaned. They're about ready to go home and collapse and get some sleep. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just kind of commandeers Peter's boat, and he says, hey, I want you to move out a little bit from the land, and I'm going to, you know, talk to the people from your boat. And he did it, but then Jesus said, okay, now, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep. Let's go fishing, man. And I'm going to tell you when to let down your nets, and we're going to have a big catch of fish. Well, now all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, now he's starting to get a little bit out of his comfort zone. Because now all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, hold on, whoa, go out into the deep. We're tired, we're exhausted, you know, and so now it's like he's pushing him a little. He's inconveniencing him a little bit. And you know, we said last week, you're going to see opportunities this year, and you're going to be faced with a decision. And that is either I'm going to stay safe back here on the shore, or I'm going to launch out into the deep with Jesus Christ. And man, my prayer for you is that you will launch out. Whatever it is he's calling you and laying on your heart to do, even if it means being inconvenienced, even if it means that you got to leave your comfort zone, that you'll launch out and that you'll do that. Christ's calling is a calling to leave our comfort zone. And sometimes we get comfortable, man. We get real comfortable where we're at. It's like we get in this rut, and yet God's calling us to go deeper, and we know that. He wants us to take the gifts we've been sitting on. He wants us to use those gifts. But here's the second thing, and it really goes along well with this. Number two in your handout is this: Jesus' call on your life is a call to leave your excuses. Man, we just saw that on the video, didn't we? These guys wanted to be fishermen and then had all the excuses why they couldn't fish. Peter, he had a great excuse why not to do what Jesus said to do. Jesus is like, launch out into the deep. And Peter had some great excuses. He's like in verse 4, He's like, hey, Jesus, verse 5, he's like, we have toiled all night. We have been fishing all night, Jesus. And number 2, we have caught nothing. We have not caught one fish. Do you ever speak in code to one another at your house when you don't want to do something? I think this is like code, right? He's speaking in code to Jesus, and the translation of that is, we are tired. We've been up all night. We are tired. We need sleep. The fish aren't biting. That would be a waste of time, Jesus. We just got everything cleaned up. Lots of good excuses there. And if you're Peter, this rough, tough fisherman, man, we know he was a tough guy. We know that he was rough around the edges. We know that later on, a few years later, remember when they accused him of being with Jesus, when Jesus was being crucified, and he was afraid for his life, and he started cursing and swearing and saying, I don't even know the man. I mean, this is a rough, tough fisherman guy. And it would have been so easy when Jesus was like, Peter, launch it into the deep. Let's go fishing. It would have been so easy for Peter to be like, you have got to be kidding. Who does Jesus think he is asking us to do something so ridiculous? I mean, Jesus knows the Bible. I'll give him that. He knows the Bible. He knows it a lot better than I know the Bible. But let me tell you something. Jesus isn't going to tell me anything about fishing. I've been fishing all my life. And you want to know about fishing, you got to come to a fisherman, and ain't no preacher going to tell me about fishing. Let me tell you something, it sure ain't gonna be Pastor Dan. This preacher ain't gonna tell you nothing about fishing, all right? The only time I remember ever going fishing was one time I took the kids, and I had talked to people and researched it and all that and thought I had it figured out. And I went out there, man, and I got my line out of there, and I got something, you know, and no lie, I caught like a boot or a shoe. I reeled it in. Oh, man. I said, I thought it was a fish. It's a boot. It's a shoe. And my wife leans over, and she's looking as I'm reeling it in, and she lost her hat. And so then I had to fish for her hat. And we laughed on the way home. We said, well, we went fishing, and we didn't catch any fish, but we caught a boot and a hat. That's all we got, a boot and a hat. That was all we caught. But, I mean, it would have been easy for Peter to be like, no preacher going to tell me about fishing. But Peter obeyed. Isn't that amazing? He put aside all of his great excuses. And he didn't know Jesus that well at this point. But he put aside his excuses. And he obeyed Christ. And you know, it's funny, when you're reading something, you don't get the pauses like you do if you're watching a movie or something. When you're reading, it's just, you're just reading. And so you don't get the pauses. I tell our actors that walk through Bethlehem, I'm like, some of the most effective acting you'll ever do are pauses, you know, where you say nothing. And you just kind of have an expression on your face or a look on your face, and there's a pause there. And but you don't get that when you're reading. And I just, as I'm reading this, I just can't help but think that there was a pause in between the word nothing and nevertheless in verse number 5. Look at that again. Can you picture a pause in there? It says, and Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Great excuses. I think he then stopped, paused, and looked at Jesus to see how Jesus would respond, to see if Jesus would be like, oh, okay, well, don't worry about it, man. You know, okay, I get it. Yeah, you're right. You know, whether Jesus would kind of like agree with him. We have toiled all night and taken a... Hey, have your kid... You ever tell your kids to do something and they give you a bunch of excuses and all you got to do is just stare at them? Okay, and then they take off and they go do it, right? And I think there's this pause between, no, I can't prove it, but when he said, we've toiled all night and taken nothing, and Jesus never budged. Jesus just looked at him and smiled. And then Peter went, nevertheless. In other words, because you said so, I'll do it. Nevertheless, because you said so, I'll do it. And then Peter's like, he says, okay, and when we get out there, Jesus, just tell us, give us the word. Tell us when you want us to let the nets down, and we'll let them down. Hey, don't you know he was glad he did it after this was over? Don't you know he was, I mean, it ends up being a life-changing event. It ends up being one of those events, you know how you have events in your life, you look back and you're like, wow, that changed the course of my life. That like changed everything in my life. And this is kind of one of those watershed events that just kind of like changed the whole course of Peter's life. He had to look back and be so thankful that he put aside his excuses and that he just obeyed and just did exactly what Jesus said to do, because it was one of those crossroads events, you know? And literally, that's why we called our church Crossroads. One of the reasons is because it's like, physically, we're at a crossroads, you know, we're at Clyde Morris and Big Tree Road. But we want people to, when they're at crossroads times in their life, and we've all been there, and you may be there right now, where you're at a kind of a crossroads time, you know, and it's like when you get to those crossroads times, in which direction am I going to go? You know, we wanted people to think about our church. We want them to think about Crossroads Ministries. We want them to think about coming here to seek God and to seek after truth and to do the right thing in their life. And this is a life-changing event for Peter and for the rest of these guys. But what I want you to see is that it was a life-changing event because they put aside their excuses and they obeyed Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I'll do what you said. Doesn't make any sense to me. You know, this isn't what I want to do. But nevertheless, because you said so, I'll do it. And you know, I wonder, do you ever find yourself making excuses when Jesus calls you to do something? I didn't expect anybody to say amen right there, but I do. I've found in my life that it's easy to make. How many of you have found it's easy to make excuses, huh? You know, maybe there's some needed changes that you know you need to make in your life, and there's excuses why you can't make those changes. You know, maybe it's like, hey, you need to get in a small group. We talk about that all the time at Crossroads, is the importance of getting in a small group. Yes, our corporate worship is important, but you need that small group. And we talk about that all the time. And you know you need to get in a small group, but there's all these excuses why you can't. Well, you know, Wednesday nights aren't good for me. Well, you know, we also have them on Sunday morning. Well, Sunday mornings aren't good for me. Well, you know, we have them on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. Those days aren't good for me either, right? Or, you know, you got opportunities to serve, like the children's ministry, and you'd be great at it. You know, your gifts are right in line with that. You'd be awesome at that, or work in the children's check-in desk to help parents get checked in. And you'd be really good at that. But then there's excuses. I'm tired. I'm busy. You know, they're going to find someone else if I don't step up. Well, you know, it's not convenient. The timing's just not right. The timing's not right right now. You know, another time I'll do that, right? Or, you know, other people would be better at it than me anyway, working with kids. They'd be better at that than me. And so we always have these excuses why not to do what God has called us to do. And we always got, you know, got excuses. That's how we are as people. You know, we tend to have these excuses in our lives. But yet, what I have found out in my life is that when I obey Jesus, even reluctantly, which is kind of, I think, what Peter's doing here. I think he's kind of reluctantly obeying. Does he want to launch out? Does he want to dirty up all the nets again after they've just cleaned everything? No. But even when I obey Jesus reluctantly, it seems like I find myself in the most meaningful times and events of my life. Yeah. Hey, you ever not want to do something and then do it and then later say, man, I'm glad I did that. I'm really glad I did that. And that's how it is in the faith and the walk with Christ. I remember one time I had an event like that several years ago. It was before I was the senior pastor. And we would get little leads in the mail from a company that produced gospel literature. Have you ever seen the little gospel tracts? Maybe you hand those out to people. It gives people the gospel. And so a lot of times, especially back then before you had email and all that, people would, there'd be a little tear-off at the bottom, and people could put their name and address, and it would say, if you're interested in knowing more about Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him, fill this out. And so people would fill that out. They'd mail it into the tract company. Well, then the tract company would send it to a local church like Crossroads, who they knew preached the Bible, believed the gospel, and then they would ask us to follow up on that person. Hey, this person's interested in Christ. Will you please follow up? Well, I got one of those in the mail. Sometimes I would get those, and I was the guy that did that. So I'm like, man, this is awesome. And so I took the little card. It was Isaiah. It was his name. And I'm like, okay. So I tracked down the address. And it was a local college campus. I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. So it's a college guy. All right, he wants to know more about Christ. Oh, this is awesome. I'm thinking, man, I might have an opportunity to lead a guy to Christ. And so I follow the address. It leads me to a dormitory on campus, and it's completely empty. And so I go to somebody, and I ask them about it, and they're like, oh, well, classes let out last week, and the dorms aren't open in the summer. They said they have to find their own local housing. They may still be in town, but they can't stay here. They have to find their own place in the summer. I'm like, oh, man, I'm like a week late. You know, I got there as quick as I could. I'm like, Lord, I got here as quick as I could, and you know this guy is seeking you. And you know Isaiah wants to know Christ, but Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm at a dead-end street. There's nothing else I can do. I have no idea. They had no record of where he went. I'm like, there's nothing I can do. Lord, I leave it with you. And so a few days later, maybe a week later, I don't remember, but I was in my car, and I was going down Bevel Road towards Clyde Morris, kind of past the Walmart and then on up heading towards Clyde Morris. And so I'm on Bevel Road, and I'm heading that way, and I see a guy walking on the sidewalk. He's got a backpack. He's obviously a college student, and he's walking. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, hey, you need to stop, and you need to talk to that guy. And you know what? I had a lot of great excuses why not to do that. I'm like, God, I am in the middle of a four-lane road. And if I stop, there's no shoulder on Bevel Road. You guys know that. There's not a shoulder to pull off. And I'm like, man, I may, you know, I may back up traffic. Plus, I mean, if I pull over and roll down my window, this guy's going to think I'm some kind of a kook. And so I had all these excuses why that's not a good idea, God. Well, God wouldn't let me off the hook. And so I don't remember if I actually pulled over there or went by him and turned around and came back. I almost think I did that. I turned around and I came back. I'm like, okay, God. So I pull over as far as I can, put on my flashers. I roll down the window. I'm speaking now through the passenger window. I go, hey. He looks at me like I am a kook, you know. He looks, yes. And I said, hey, listen, man, I wanted to invite you to our church. And I told him a little bit about it. And he was open. He starts talking to me, you know. And I'm thinking, wow, this is awesome. I said, hey, listen, man, I'm in the middle of the road. I said, can I get your address? I'll come by and talk to you. He's like, okay. And so he gives me his address. Well, I go by his house. He invites me in. He is just hanging. I'm sharing Christ with him, and he is hanging on every word. I'm like, listen, man, do you want to accept Christ as your Savior? He's like, yes, yes, I do. And with tears, he just asked Jesus Christ into his heart. He asked Christ to be his Savior. And when we were done, I'm like, man, what was your name again? He goes, my name is Isaiah B. And I said, B? How do you spell that? B-I-I. He's from another country here for college. I'm like, Isaiah B. I said, that sounds, and then it hit me. And I still had that little slip of paper in my billfold. And I got my billfold out and I pulled it out. And I said, Isaiah, did you fill that out? He got a big old smile on his face and he says, yes, I did. How did you get that? And I said, I went a week ago to your dormitory to find you, to tell you about Jesus. And you were gone, and I didn't know where you went. And I said, out of all the thousands of people in Daytona Beach, Florida, the Holy Spirit led me right to you today. Isaiah ended up getting very involved in the church, serving, just loved the Lord until he ended up going back to his country that he was from. After finishing his education. And you know, I had a lot of great excuses why not to talk to that guy. But you know what I found out? In your handout, it says, so often, look at that. It says, so often, the most meaningful and life-changing things happen in our lives when Jesus interrupts what we're doing with a nudge, pushes us out of our comfort zone, and we put aside excuses, and we simply obey. That's when some of the coolest stuff happens in our lives. And you know, as you look at this text, and you read this, look at verse 4. It says, and when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Simon, he's like, Master, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. He's got all these excuses. And then I think, like I said, I think there's a pause there. And then he just makes a decision. Peter's like, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Okay, I'll put aside my excuses and I'll do it. And when they had this done, verse 6 says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. You understand? Peter is a fisherman, and he knows without any shadow of a doubt, this is a miracle. They have so much fish that the ships are beginning to sink. He knows this is a miracle. This has never happened before. He knows that there was nothing there a few minutes ago, and he knows that this man, Jesus, even has control and tells the fish where to go. He even tells fish where to go, and they obey. And so Peter, look at what it says there. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He's like, man, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. Look at the end of verse 10. Jesus said very lovingly, he said, fear not, from hereafter you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Jesus' call is a call to leave our comfort zone, yes, but then leave our excuses and simply follow him in faith. Well, I'm out of time again. Honey, they're just not listening fast enough. By the way, can I share something with you guys? I'm not a pack rat, and I am not one to keep things, and I don't have any clue why I did it. I still got Isaiah B's paper that he filled out. Can you believe that? Still got it. And that to me right there is like a testament to the fact that when I don't feel like obeying Christ, I just need to obey. I think we'll stop there and we'll pick this up next week. So let's bow our heads right now and close our eyes.